Here it is, the part two you probably didn't see coming. Yeah. Spoiler alert, there's going to be a part three. This is Charles Heatherley, part two. The SBA Years, a Turning Point in Conservative Policy. And this is a chapter of Charles Heatherley's career that gets overlooked. His time at the Small Business Administration. It wasn't just another stop on his resume. Heatherley's tenure at the SBA was marked by high-stakes politics, bold proposals, and a pivotal shift in both his career and in conservative policymaking. So what happened when Heatherley stepped into the SBA? Was he brought in to rubber stamp a controversial merger? Did his idealism survive the process? Or was this the moment that radicalized him? Let's unpack. Heatherley takes the helm. It's 1986. Ronald Reagan is president, and his administration is in the middle of its second term. The focus? Cut government spending, consolidate agencies, and reduce what is seen as bureaucratic inefficiency. Enter Charles Heatherley. He was tapped to serve as acting administrator of the Small Business Administration. At the time, the Reagan administration had a bold and controversial plan. Merge the SBA into the Department of Commerce. The logic was simple on paper, at least. The SBA's programs, like loan guarantees and entrepreneurial training, could be absorbed into a larger department, reducing redundancy and, in theory, saving taxpayer dollars. In reality, this was a seismic move with far-reaching implications. For small business owners across the country, the SBA wasn't just another agency, it was a lifeline. Its programs provided access to capital, mentorship, and disaster relief. The proposal to fold it into the Department of Commerce was met with fierce opposition from Congress and from the small business community. The SBA is a essential element of American capitalism. So what happened next? Well, the merger didn't happen. Congress and small business advocates dug in their heels, and the Reagan administration was forced to abandon the plan. For Heatherley, this was a turning point. Initially brought in to lead the merger effort, he now found himself in a very different position. Instead of dismantling the SBA, he was tasked with running it, and this is where things get complicated. Heatherley's leadership style was direct, and some might even say divisive. He called for the resignation of several regional administrators, a move that many saw as an attempt to align the agency with his own personal conservative philosophies. This approach didn't sit well with everyone. Critics accused Heatherley of trying to undermine the SBA from within, suggesting that he still wanted to see the agency dismantled, even if the merger plan had been scrapped. The backlash reached a boiling point at the 1986 White House Conference on Small Business. Delegates from across the country voiced their frustrations with the administration's handling of the SBA and with Heatherley. The criticism was loud and it was clear. Small business owners felt that the SBA was under attack and they demanded change. In response to this pressure, President Reagan made the decision to replace Heatherley as acting administrator. Now, his time at the SBA ended, but questions lingered. Was he a casualty of political infighting, or had he been trying to steer the agency in a new direction? So, what's the big question? The big question is, what did this experience do to Heatherley's idealism? Some argue that his time at the SBA radicalized him, reinforcing his belief that bold, decisive action was necessary to cut through bureaucracy. Others see it as a moment of clarity, a time when he realized just how deeply entrenched certain systems were and how difficult real change would be. What we do know is that after leaving the SBA, Heatherley returned to the Heritage Foundation, where he took on the role of Vice President for Academic Relations, and it was there that he doubled down on his commitment to conservative policy, helping to mentor the next generation of leaders and to refine the strategies that have made Mandate for Leadership so successful. What can we learn from Heatherley's time at the SBA? First, it's a case study in how even the best laid plans can face resistance when they clash with public sentiment. The Reagan administration's proposal to merge the SBA into the Department of Commerce wasn't inherently flawed, but it failed to account for the emotional and practical attachment that small business owners had to the agency. A second, Heatherly's experience shows the importance of adaptability. When the merger plan fell apart, he had to shift gears and take on a role that wasn't part of the original plan. Whether you see his leadership as effective or as controversial, there's no denying that he navigated a politically charged environment with determination. This chapter of Heatherly's career reminds us that failure, whether real or perceived, is not the end of anyone's story. For Heatherly, the challenges he faced at the SBA did not derail his career. They sharpened his resolve and reinforced his belief in the power of strategic planning and policy. Charles Heatherly's time at the SBA is a fascinating glimpse into the intersection of politics, leadership, and ideology. It's a reminder that even the most unassuming figures can find themselves at the center of pivotal moments in history. Whether you see his tenure as a success or a cautionary tale, one thing is clear. Heatherly's commitment to his vision never wavered. In the end, that makes him a compelling figure, a man who didn't just react to the challenges he faced, but used them to fuel his next steps. Thanks for joining us today. See you next time. And understand that whether you agree with Heatherly's philosophies or you don't, he's an inspirational figure who shows us that specific, deliberate plans can effect change.